This is a no surf music, Burning River Fireside Chat.
With guest, Tommy Womack.
I'm your host, Jason D. Diesel Hammond. For the best in Americana, alt country, indie rock, and more, point your browser to nosurfmusic.com. So this is another edition of No Surf Music's Burning River Fireside Chats. Joining me once again today is a great Nashville songwriter, Tommy Womack. How you doing, Tommy?
I'm fine. How are you doing?
I'm terrific. I am sandwiched between 2 days in a row of Tommy Womack concerts, so that's a pretty good weekend right there.
You poor soul.
Oh, no. We saw you up at Chris Castle's place, Dirt Sandwich Music, in Norwalk, Ohio, yesterday. And we're at the Honky Tonk House here in Streetsboro, Ohio, today. What did you think of Chris's place? That was your first time there, right?
I had a wonderful time. It's a great venue, great people. The audience was terrific. And Chris is a quality guy. I've always liked him. So I'm really happy that he's got a place that committed to art. With such a nice vibe to it. It's a real good place.
Very cool. Yeah, I really enjoy it up there. I've only been up a couple of shows. But even though it's a bit of a drive for me, I try and get up there whenever I can. But in addition to you being one of the first national acts to play there, which is pretty cool, there's also another little bit of a momentous occasion yesterday because you met one of your namesakes.
Yeah. Haley from the Womack Family Band, and I've wanted to do some gigs with those fellas, those kids, those groups, guys and gals, because I've never had a band named after me before. It's just it's the neatest thing. I really get a kick out of that.
Very cool. Well, I know that Haley really enjoyed it. She was definitely getting into the music. And unfortunately, none of the other band members could make it, and she couldn't even stay that long because they're working on a CD right now. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure once the new one comes out, you know, you guys should get together and play some. I'm sure they'd love it.
I would love to do that.
Very cool, very cool. Well, I'll make sure that they keep in touch, and one of these days we'll have to arrange it because I would definitely like that.
Yeah, please do.
Nice. Have you heard much of their music at all? Or
I don't know if I've heard a lick of their music.
Really? Okay, well, we'll play some for you then.
All right.
Before you go tonight, I've got it all on my computer. So, but yeah, I think you'll really like them. They're really talented musicians, and I think, you know, as they work more on their songwriting and get better as songwriters, one of the people that they look to is you. As, you know, someone to base a template off of. So I'm sure that when you get together, you'll enjoy each other.
Well, I hope they get super famous and have to explain why they're named that over and over and over again. It can only do me good.
There you go. There you go. Well, it's kind of like, you know, that story about how the Beatles opened up for Roy Orbison in Europe before they became big. And then later on, Roy was supposed to open for them in America, and they insisted he be billed last. So maybe you could do something like that, you know, the Womacks and Tommy Womack or something, you know. It'd be a good billing. So anyway, I just wanted to catch up with you a little bit, though, because you've got a whole lot going on right now. Not only are you working on an album of your own, I believe... but you're also, you just finished up a draft on a new book as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're also working on a reunion album of sorts, I think, with Government Cheese, is that correct?
Yes, we booked studio time just yesterday, got the studio time booked. We're playing one show in Nashville and another one that is probably going to be in Louisville. Nashville is booked Saturday, August 23rd. We're playing there and we're going to... almost certainly play headliners in Louisville sometime in September. We don't have the date firmed up. But in September, we know we're going in the studio with Brad Jones producing us. And the Nashville show will be a fundraiser to pay for making the record. And the Louisville show will be the fundraiser, the way I'm seeing it, to pay for the mastering and artwork and the production of the record.
Okay. And just in case people don't know, because they've only heard your later career style, which is more of sort of an Americana singer-songwriter thing. Government Cheese is
rock and roll,
country punk kind of thing, right?
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. It's definitely got some influences of early Jason and the Scorchers, but also early REM, and as we progressed over time, Iggy and the Stooges became a big influence, and not just their loud, raucous face, but their more moody passages too. I listen to some Iggy and the Stooges nowadays, and I hear it sounds like they're influenced by us more than we're influenced by them. I listen to Iggy records and I go, well, that sounds like Scott. And that's our lead singer, you know. Uh-huh. Instead of thinking Scott sounds like Iggy, it's kind of weird that way.
Well, you've been playing with him for a much longer time, for sure, so you're much more used to his work.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been a while since you guys did anything at all together, right? It was 95 was the last time you played together?
95, we did a reunion vinyl single to have something to sell besides my book. We did a short tour in 1995 when my book Cheese Chronicles came out.
Mm-hmm.
Only band I've ever heard of that did a tour in support of a book. And we wanted something extra special to be able to sell at the show, so we recorded a 7-inch vinyl single. And before that, the last time we had recorded anything was 1991 or 1992. And the last record we did came out in 92.
Okay.
Until the two-disc anthology that came out in 2011.
Okay. So what is it like being back? I mean, I know you haven't done any studio time yet, right, for the Government Cheese
album.
You just booked it. But what is it like collaborating with these guys again after such a long absence? Are you falling back into the old patterns, or is it...
No, it's new patterns, and they're good new patterns. Everybody is much better on their instrument than they used to be. Scott has especially improved, both vocally and guitar-wise, and everybody's got a better attitude than they did in the last few years of the band. There's not a whole lot of locker room insults. There's not a whole lot of jockeying for position of leader. And we're not even, you know, having to be brittle and painfully polite with each other. It's just a whole new relationship with all the guys. Everything from the way we're playing together to the way we talk to one another. It's just more mature.
Okay. And that sort of rings true with the theme of your last few albums, which have been, you know, more looking at your own life from a mature perspective of a middle-aged guy rather than, mm-hmm. you know, what you used to write back when you were a teenager or in your 20s. So how are the new songs that you're developing coming out in relation to that? Are they more like adult songs, or are they more throwbacks to the... Okay.
They're going to have the Government Cheese sound. It's going to rock. It's going to rock like hell. But lyrically, we're not going to be singing about teenage and young adult concerns. We're going to be singing about our lives today, even if the sound itself rocks as hard as we ever did. We've already had that conversation
mm-hmm.
about what the tunes we're writing. Nobody's trying to write anything that doesn't feel real to them, and we're all... I think everybody in the band is in their 50s now. Viva's still in his 40s. Other than that, we're all in our 50s, and write what you know. You know, you got to write what you know. I'm not going to write a cruising around the mall, getting drunk, getting laid song, because I don't do those things.
Mm.
And our audience doesn't either. Certainly hope not.
Right. So you think that, I guess your goal is to tap into the original Government Cheese fans and folks who have followed you through the years, so kind of the folks that were your age when you were playing back then are your intended listeners now, and you're going to try and talk to them in the way that they're viewing life as well?
Yeah, yeah, we want a record that means something to them now. Because one thing the record is not going to do, and we're going to hear a lot of griping from people, because they're going to listen to this record, and it's not going to make it 1987 again.
Right.
Their life is not going to have been mystically transported back 25 years, and they're going to be disappointed in the record because of that. We could make Sgt. Pepper Part 2, and there will be people disappointed in it because it didn't, quick as a snap of your fingers, turn their life back to make them young again. We're going to get a lot of that. But that's not going to be the, I don't think that'll even be the prevailing sentiment. That'll just happen. You know, there's people who are going to bitch no matter what. What was the question?
sort of the audience basically you're going for and how you think they're going to feel about the music later in life.
The audience, themselves. The thing about the Cheese is the audience can trend younger too because we rock.
Right.
And young kids like rock. And there are a lot of parents wanting to bring their kids to see the Cheese. There are a lot of kids who were never old enough to see the Cheese back in the days, and now they finally can. And there's, and we're arguably a bigger band now than we ever were when we were a working concern from 85 to 92. More people know who we are now. The book certainly helped. The book made fans out of people who had never heard the band.
Mm-hmm.
They just read the book.
I mean, I know that was the way it was for me, because I heard your solo. I mean, I'm obviously a lot younger. I wasn't around in the Government Cheese days, so I heard your solo work first and then learned about the book. And I read the book before I'd ever even heard a Government Cheese song.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think there's going to be then that new breed of, you know, both people my age and even younger of kids getting into it this time around? And do you feel that you're going to be able to get through to them the same way you are their parents when you're talking about, you know, more mature issues than you might have back in the fish sticks days?
I'm not going to get my hopes up for something like that. I think we'll get a few young fans. I don't think it's going to be anything that'll turn anybody's head at a bigger label to want to sign us. And we're not going to go on the road to an extent where we have a chance to win over great amounts of young fans.
Okay.
We'll do a few dates when the record comes out, but you might not even really be able to call it a tour.
I gotcha. Well, hopefully, no matter where you play, I'll get down to see at least one show, because I would definitely love to check that out.
It's a fun show. We do rock. And nobody leaves in a bad mood. It's Government Cheese is a fun band. We used to be. We are now. There's a magic when we get together. And, you know, we're not the greatest musicians. We're not the greatest singers. But a lot of our songs are damn good. And our attitude on stage is damn good. We got a lot of heart. And nobody leaves a Government Cheese show in a bad mood.
There you go. And for folks who don't want to wait for the new one or want to check you out now, there's a 2-CD set out that has pretty much everything you guys ever recorded, right?
It has everything we ever released, plus a good 30% of the record is stuff that was never released before in any form. The physical copies are sold out. Part of the fundraiser for making a new record, part of the budget is to repress the anthology, but you can get the anthology on iTunes if you're an iPod digital music kind of person. You can get the record on iTunes.
Gotcha. So everybody who wants it, go check it out online. The Cheese sorry, Government Cheese anthology. Mm-hmm. And that actually is a good segue, because you mentioned earlier the book about Government Cheese, mm-hmm. which is called Cheese Chronicles, and that's why it just slipped up there. And that really covered sort of your life from college unto the end of the band. But now this new book that you're working on is covering both your earlier life, I believe, and your time since the last book came out in 95, right?
Yeah.
So why, number one, why do you feel like this is a good time to work on both that project and the Government Cheese project? And also, why do you feel like you want to go back into your early life as well and not just do more about your solo career alone?
Because it's not just a music biography, and it's a memoir of a spiritual journey more than anything. And it turns out to be a prequel and a sequel to Cheese Chronicles, but the motivating factors weren't really to fill in those gaps for people. I could write about my solo career, and I do a bit in the memoir. It does come up, but it's not the central factor in the book. It's a memoir of a spiritual journey to get to where I am, the person I am now. And it covers a lot of ground. And my challenge now is to make it enjoyable and readable and funny. You know, I'm a funny guy. I used to fight it in Government Cheese. I used to think we shouldn't be funny. I would write a funny song that I'd get sick of it after 3 weeks and say, we can't do that funny song anymore. It's not cool. Rock and rollers aren't funny. It's not a cool way to be. And I'm 51 now and couldn't give two hoots about being cool. And I'm funny. I write funny songs. I'm funny on stage. I'm not particularly funny off stage. But something happens on stage and in front of a microphone. It's what I do. It's my gift. So I don't mind being funny at all. I got Government Cheese to stop doing Fish Stick Day after several years. I said, I am never playing that song again, no matter how hard they chant for it. I did it last night.
Yep.
I do it all the time now.
To quite a lot of applause last night.
To quite a lot of applause. It's funny. It's if I'm a comedian, if I'm a jokester or a clown, okay, that's fine. I'll be the world's clown.
Mm-hmm.
If it makes somebody happy and keeps me out of having to do roofing or laying floor tile.
Or going back to Vanderbilt.
Going back to Vanderbilt, amen. Then I'll be funny. I'm happy with it.
Nice. Well, I think one of the things that makes your act so interesting, just as an example, is you know, last night, and I've seen you do it this way before, you paired Fish Stick Day with Coming Back to Bowling Green,
mm-hmm.
Which is another Government Cheese song, but it's a much more serious. I mean, it's still kind of a funny little song, but it's much more real. It's, you know, mm-hmm. talking about feelings and, you know, how this guy is dealing with his relationship, and so for you to be able to write a, you know, quality song like that. And then go straight into something funny as all get out, like Fish Stick Day, really set you apart, I think, from a lot of people. So I think that's one of the cool parts of your act as well.
And that's how Government Cheese used to do the song, too.
Oh, yeah?
We went straight from Come On Back to Bowling Green into Fish Stick Day.
Nice.
And from Fish Stick Day into People Who Died. It was a triad. It was,
okay.
That was the finale of the show for many years. And another thing I do, usually every night, is I have a acapella rap called 90 Miles an Hour Down a Dead End Street,
mm-hmm.
about a drunken escapade on the road that has funny minutes in it, but it's pretty grim. And I follow that with Nice Day, which is the most tender, heartfelt thing I've ever written. A song about a lovely day swimming with my son. So we go from a tale on the road of me being drunk and disorderly to a tale of me being at home embodying a wholesome life. And I like putting things together next to each other that are totally different emotional effects. Because I kind of like that whiplash factor it gives people. Because life is like that. One minute the sun's shining and you're having a ball listening to music and talking to your friends, and then 10 seconds later a semi-truck T-bones you in an intersection. And life changes. Life's like that. So why shouldn't your show be like that?
Gotcha. Gotcha. Well, I definitely would like to see something like that triad you were talking about done at full power, you know, with the other government cheese guys. I think for people like me who've never seen that done in the show with all the electric instruments, all that, it should be a lot of fun. So
it's a lot of fun.
It's another good reason to look forward to this upcoming mini tour or whatever it's going to be. So then what was, before we move on, what was the title of the new book that you're working on? Just so,
Say This Life and Let It Be Enough for Once.
Okay, that's a long one. Well, how did you decide on that?
It's a line from a Joe Bolton poem.
Okay. Okay.
I went to school with Joe Bolton. He's a terrific poet. He wrote a great book of poetry called The Last Nostalgia. We went to college together. We had poetry writing class together. We talked one day in the student cafeteria about getting together and having a jam, because I knew he bought a bass guitar and I had an electric guitar. And we never actually did it. And that day in the cafeteria might have been the last time I ever saw him. He moved off somewhere to do graduate work. And in 1990 or 91, he killed himself. He had been drinking a lot, and he was convinced that all great poets do their best work by the time they're 21, and he was already 22 and 23 and feeling washed up, and he took himself out of the game. And that title is from a line of one of his poems, and the first fly leaf, the quote on the first fly leaf of the book is another quote from Joe, which sums up the memoir pretty well. It's, we drag our lives around like screaming children.
Okay, okay.
Joe was brilliant.
Interesting. Well, that certainly gives you kind of a crazy perspective, at least to me, on what the book's going to be about exactly. Because I know you definitely have had an interesting life, yeah, just from what I read about in Cheese Chronicles. So can't wait to get the chance to catch up on the rest of it since then. So it's going to be very cool, I think.
There's an ancient Chinese curse that goes, may you live in interesting times.
That's the story of Tommy Womack right there, huh? Very cool. And then the last thing you're working on now is a solo record as well.
Yeah.
And you've already done some studio work for that, is that right? But you're still going back for some more.
Yeah, there'll be some more studio work, and that probably won't be until near the end of the year.
Okay.
Because the Cheese is going to record in September. I'm ghostwriting a book for a fella. That'll take me through the end of May. It's a 2-month project. Hope just through the end of May. I have some gigs in July and August, and I'll also be working on a third draft of my new book after I get the ghostwriting done. Then the Cheese will have a lot of work cut out for us in August and September working on this record. Then when that's done, maybe October, I can consider turning my attention back to making a record of my own. And there's something to be said for taking your time between making records, solo records, anymore. If I make a record every 4 years, that's fine, you know. A, my audience trend's older, so what's 4 years? You know, it goes by like that.
Right.
And I need the time to write, you know. 11 or 12 songs that fit together and are real good. Mm-hmm. I've gotten a better understanding in the last few years of what's a good song and what's not. There's a lot of songs on my earlier solo records that were not finished. I wrote a great verse and a great chorus, and then I wrote the second and third verses really fast because I was excited about the song and couldn't wait to record it. And now those songs are on record forever to haunt me because there's crappy lines in them. There's parts of it that don't fit well. I've learned to step back a foot and listen to a song and let it sit and listen to it again and find out, is it a finished song or not? And I'm a lot better about that than I used to be. And, you know, that's just all the more reason not to rush a new album.
Gotcha. So, I've known people who do it a couple different ways. Some people, for just that reason, love to take a song out and play it live. So they can figure things out before they ever go to record it. Mm-hmm. And some people just refuse to play their songs before they're recorded. Which camp do you fall into?
I play almost all my songs before I record them. And after I've recorded them, I play them some more. And I'm a big fan of playing material as soon as I write it and know it's good and get it out. Because you work out the kinks live, you find out little lyric changes that work good. Because it's a crying shame to go in and record a song that you're barely familiar with, and 2 months later on the road find a whole new way to sing it, a whole different chord progression that makes it work better, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, I definitely, you'll hear five or six songs tonight that are candidates for the new record.
Okay.
You'll hear a lot of stuff that's unreleased.
Very cool. Well, definitely looking forward to that. And I heard some yesterday that I hadn't heard before that I definitely was digging. So hopefully some of that will make it on as well. So since you are working on all of this at the same time, and obviously you have a sort of a staggered way that it's going to be coming out, but how are you personally, because I know the other guys are writing songs for the Government Cheese album as well, but how are you personally differentiating between, you know, this is a song I want for the Government Cheese album, this is a song I want for my solo stuff? You know, how do you make decisions like that?
By what the song sounds like once I've finished writing it. I don't write something sitting down going, I'm going to write a Government Cheese song today, or I'm going to write a Daddy song or a Tommy Womack song. I just write the song. And the song will tell you what it is. You know, they're like kids. You can put the genetic information together to make a kid grow, but the kid's going to tell you later on what the kid's going to be. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's like that. I'll let the song decide which record it wants to be a part of.
Okay. Well, that sounds like a lot of fun. And like I said, you know, I've been a fan of your solo work a lot. Well, not a lot longer, but longer than I have been of your Government Cheese work. So I've heard you do some Government Cheese songs solo, and they work out quite well. Indeed. So I'm interested to hear how you make those decisions as things roll out, and get to hear how it works out on the albums as well. So it's very cool. So just so everybody knows, again, what's the timeline looking at? I guess the Government Cheese album will probably come out first, since that's what you're recording first. You know,
yeah, probably, what your goal? Probably come out first. Maybe in time for Christmas.
Okay.
We'll see.
Well, hopefully. I think that'd make a great present for people to get their kids, you know, like you said, you know, try to teach them a little bit about what things like used to be like back in the early days. Absolutely. Of the country punk stuff. Very cool. Well, Tommy, I want to let you go and get ready for the set here.
All right.
But it was definitely great catching up with you. It's always fun talking. And definitely keep us informed. I've said it a million times, but you know, if anybody is out there is looking for a truly great songwriter, Tommy Womack is one of the best, and you should go out and check out all of his music. And check out Cheese Chronicles, his great book about government cheese as well. And what's the name of your you have a novel as well, correct?
The Lavender Boys and Elsie.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. So if you want to get some fiction from Tommy, that's where you go. And then we'll be looking forward to all the new music and the new memoir as well. So that sounds great. Once again, Tommy, thank you very much for joining us. And it's always great to have you here in Ohio. We'll catch you hopefully soon again, okay?
Well, it's my pleasure, pal.
Awesome. All right, so once again, everybody, this has been Jason D. Diesel Hammond, your host, with Mr. Tommy Womack. And this has been a No Surf Music Burning River Fireside Chat. I'm signing off, and we're going to listen to Tommy play. Thanks a lot, guys.
This has been a No Surf Music Burning River Fireside Chat. This is your host, Jason D. Diesel Hammond, signing off. Remember, No Surf Music is your source for the best in Americana, alt-country, indie rock, and more. For original reviews and interviews, visit nosurfmusic.com.